The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord can be found on page 603 in your pew Bibles. It's from Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you up. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. You can find it on page 942 in the pew Bible. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? But do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, he died once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is now in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, and that he locked up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Luther's baptism prayer has been incorporated into our baptism liturgy. And the first part of that prayer is a quick recitation of the Old Testament texts that have the deepest bearing on baptism, before it jumps to explaining our gospel text. And what Luther's prayer emphasizes is that coming through the waters has always been a two-outcome phenomenon. According to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all of his host in the Red Sea. Yet you led your people Israel through the waters on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. The flood and the Exodus. Israel, those who believed, who had faith, came through. Those hard-hearted, those who rejected the warnings of that ark being built, were swallowed up by the waters. Yet why is this the case? When Jesus shows up at the Jordan to be baptized by John, what is happening there? Luther's prayer continues. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood, the lavish washing away of sin. John was prophesying a baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire. Jesus stood in those waters of repentance and took the baptism of fire that we deserve. There is the end of it. What he gives to us is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the great exchange. But baptism isn't magic. The sacraments in general are not magic. And by magic, I mean that doing something or saying some words in some way that we think we can manipulate God. God is present in them. His promises are given to us in them. They are for our forgiveness. And if we approach them without faith, they do as much good as they did Pharaoh, or the entire world that drowned in the flood. Baptism, the sacraments, are God's promises to us. Baptism specifically is our incorporation into the people of God. And that people of God is recognized in the church. Our Old Testament text from Isaiah is a prophetic reflection on all of this. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. This is a message for both physical Jacob and believing Israel, because both can get this wrong. God has made Jacob. He has formed Israel. But just being part of the children of Abraham is not our salvation. John the Baptist would warn those people who had come out to not say, "We have Abraham as our father," because God could make children from Abraham out of the stones if he wanted to. And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, calls the Pharisees slaves of sin, right after they claim exactly that they're children of Abraham. One can follow the formula, but if one lacks the faith to receive the promise, the formula is nothing for you. It remains true. But hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host are swept away in it. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. The redemption starts in those waters. It's in those waters of baptism that you have been called by your name, by God. God has claimed you in those waters of baptism. But if we despise what God has done, if we lack faith in it, if we do not respond to the voice that calls us by our name, it very well might be worse for us. As Jesus would say in Luke 11, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, baptism is at first that kind of exorcism. The unclean spirit is cast out. But if the unclean spirit has gone out of the person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And it, not finding one, it says, I will return to the house from which I came. And when it does, it finds the house swept and in order. Then it goes in and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. That unclean spirit will pass through those waterless places, those unbaptized places. But there's no rest for Satan there because they are already his. So it returns. The baptism has been treated as magic. Or the family that has been brought into it, that you've been brought into, has been ignored. Or there's no faith formation. It can be worse than at first. The sacraments, baptism included, are the threshing floor where the wheat and the chaff are separated. They're God's means of working in this world. The wheat forms faith and grows and produces the fruits of repentance, and the chaff blows away. The rest of Isaiah's meditation focuses on the promises given to those who believe. It's those promises preached that bring forth faith, and they give our faith something to latch on to. And those promises are first spelled out in a very John the Baptist type way. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. The baptism that you received is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you walk through the waters, God is with you. And those who believe this, like Noah and Israel, pass through the waters. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. Because Jesus has taken the baptism of fire for us on that cross, it doesn't mean we don't have fiery trials. The promise is that due to God having been with us through the waters, the flame will not consume us. We've been claimed, and we've been promised eternal life. We will not be condemned to the eternal fire. Our eternal soul is safe with Christ. Moth and rust cannot get it, neither shall it be burned, because our life is connected to Christ in our baptism. Why has God done this? Why did Jesus accept that baptism of John? Because you are precious in my eyes, an honor, and I love you. God has given us the sacraments. He's given us baptism as a sign of his love for us. God has given up his claim on peoples for his people. And that people is those who have been baptized into Christ and walk in the newness of life. That's Paul's point in Romans. If we are baptized, do we have the ultimate get-out-of-hell-free card? By no means. It's kind of a weak translation for what Paul actually says. The King James invoked God's name. God forbid. Our translators went in search of a different phrase because God's name is used all the time in vain amongst us. But God forbid today just doesn't have that same punch. You'd probably be justified in using profanity to translate it. But you have been buried with Christ so that you may live with him. This body of sin has been brought to nothing so that we are no longer slaves to sin. Exactly what Jesus called those Pharisees when they claimed to be children of Abraham. God's love has come to you in your baptism. He's redeemed you. You can go sell yourself back to the idols if you want, but the purpose is not so that we can do whatever we want, but so that we can live eternally with God's love. So, if God has given up the peoples, how can we be certain that we are part of what has been not part of what has been given up instead of those that are precious in God's eye? Fear not, I am with you. Are you baptized? Do you believe the promise that God has given to you then? That this water is not simple water only, but it's the water combined with God's word. That this water works forgiveness of sins, rescues from sin, death, and the devil, and gives eternal salvation. Fear not. God is with you. Those waters are a visible promise that has been given to you out of the love of God. I will bring you, meaning the true Israel, I bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will say to the north and to the south, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. As Paul would say in Romans, all Israel will be saved. As Jesus would say in John, my sheep hear my voice. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. There's no place where the people of God can be driven by this world that they will not be recalled from. In baptism, we've been given God's name. We've been recreated for God's glory. We have been reformed and made new. Luther would conclude his catechism on the baptism that baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that the new man should daily emerge and arise before God to live in righteousness and purity forever. Baptism is the promise that God is with us, which he is in that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is the promise that our sins have been washed away. Baptism is the promise that we have been united with Christ and will have a resurrection like his. Baptism is our standing call to believe and to live the Christian life. To live not for our own glory, but to live for the glory of God. Amen.